WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In just a moment, Bill Van Wert will be reviewing the new film Rockers, which is about Jamaica, Rastafarians, and about reggae. So before we hear from Bill, let's just hear an excerpt of a reggae recording. And I know that some of you might not be familiar with reggae music. This is the kind of rhythm that it has, and this is Burning Spear, which is one of the very popular reggae groups.
I'm going. I'm ready. Roll it.
Listening to People Get Ready, performed by the reggae group Burning Spear, one of the groups featured in a new film called Rockers. And Fresh Air's film reviewer Bill Van Wert is with me now with a review of Rockers. Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you. Rockers apparently is the updated title given to reggae music. And I should say at the outset that I did not see Jimmy Cliff's Harder They Come, which has become a cult film. I mean, plays in the repertory theaters. It's a midnight show at TLA a lot, and I think Rockers is destined to be the same. And I don't know that much about Rastafarianism. I know that it's a religious sect and that it follows Haile Selassie, and he's called the Lion of Judah. And much of the music reflects religious worship as a kind of context for poverty and political woes. And I'll get into that in a minute about the music. But I want to say at the outset that I'm a tourist in such a film. And I found it very refreshing because I'd not seen anything quite like it. Very briefly, I'm going to tell the plot because the plot is a pretext. There's nothing else going on. I mean, everything is in the music and some fine-tuned jokes. The plot is what I would call a Jamaican version of The Sting. The protagonist, whose name is the actor's name, Leroy Horsemouth Wallace, is a reggae drummer, has his bike stolen by the mafia, and the mafia boss turns out to be the father of his love interest in the film. Not his wife, but a woman he loves is his daughter, and the daughter helps him, and they steal everything in the mafia warehouse and eventually give it all away. I mean, the film ends with all of these stolen television sets and stereos and bikes and all of the material goods apparently on the island, just lining up the streets, and all the poor people get to be thieves for a change. They all come out in the morning, and it's this hilarious disappearing scene of all the goods coming off the street and going back into the houses. And so I think this is where the some critics have called it a Jamaican Robin Hood fairy tale, that Horsemouth doesn't just go for revenge, he gives it back to the people. I think that's the political statement there. It's difficult for a tourist like myself to think too politically in a film like this, since a lot of the religious discussions, a lot of the intoning of Haile Selassie and talking about God is done in the context of this, you know, wondrous, bubbly music, and also in the context visually of smoking joints. And it was a... something of an event for me in the theater, which is why I think it becomes a cult film, to be sitting there as Horsemouth would light up a joint, so too would the air in the theater be permeated with it. So I mentioned that for people, you know, with families, that, I mean, this is a cultural phenomenon film you might not want to go into. There's no nudity in the film. The violence, it's apparently less violent than The Harder They Come. But the violence in the film produces instant laughter and applause from the audience. And the audience I'm referring to are people from the culture, Rastafarians in Philadelphia. They clap, they laugh, and people get kicked and knocked around in alleys. And it seems like almost like silent film violence, the way Laurel and Hardy would, you know, slap around, or the Three Stooges would knock noses and so on. What I found myself being carried away with, besides the music, was the language. And the language of the film is subtitled throughout, and the subtitles, interestingly, are, you know, one-to-one what they're saying. It's English being subtitled. And so what I found myself doing was reading the subtitles as fast as I could, and then watching the mouths and trying to see, you know, how it would sound coming out that way. And yes, you do need the subtitles. Some of the language, I'll give you a couple examples. When they steal his bike, Horsemouth goes to his friends and says, "Them thief I men bike." And there's a reversal of the pronoun, the I pronoun with me. I seems to be a much more formal, more important one. Me seems to be a more humble pronoun. When referring to another person, they don't say you, they say I. Would the I come with I to find bike? That kind of thing. There are a couple fascinating takeoffs of things that we have in our English, in this culture. When we say, "Do you see?" In the movie, they say sight or seen. And tacking on things like Rasta, brethren, and various words that seem to be in the culture. My favorite for see you soon or see you later, that Horsemouth says dread out. That's D-R-E-A-D, dread out. And everything else seems to have a political tone, but it again, for a tourist like myself, is very difficult to pick up on the seriousness of it. Jack Ruby is a character in the film, a Jamaican character, who's just cut a new LP, Free Rhodesia or Else. And another singer in the film, you were in the record studio listening to him basically sing the Bible, "Seek ye good and not evil." And there is either this religious tone to it, or the reggae words, the lyrics, have to do with poverty, capitalism, exploitation, and it many ways does not come across in this bubbling, it makes you want to dance, this music. And so it's a little difficult to take it too seriously if you're not attuned to that culture. There are a couple nice musical in-jokes that have to do with culture. At one point, there are some white tourists in a club, and they're listening to rockers' music, and the one says to the other one, "Hey, man, I don't think that's Calypso. I think we're in the wrong place." And at another point, Horsemouth and his friend, whose name is Dirty Harry in the film, go into a discotheque, and the film does show nicely the various levels of black Jamaican culture. And apparently the more moneyed the culture is, the more imitative it is of American culture. So they go into this discotheque, and of course the music is American soul music. It's Motown. And Dirty Harry goes into the disc jockey's booth and basically knocks him silly to the floor and locks the booth and plays rockers music. And he announces over the loudspeaker system that this is a takeover. I mean, what's being played out is a revolutionary action for native music over imported soul music, black versus black, to someone outside of the culture. So it's an interesting film. The plot doesn't seem to go anywhere beyond the, you know, the individual situation of Horsemouth Wallace, who seems to act very well. The best actors in the film are the two women, his wife and the daughter of the mafia boss, played by Monica Malyukre and Marjorie Norman. But it's a little bit like watching The Sting. You're fascinated with, you know, the scam, with pulling off robbing the robbers. And I guess the fairy tale of Robin Hood is nice. What I wanted to see, I guess, once I started to really understand the lyrics of some of the songs, is something a little bit with a little bit more bite to it, something that would reflect more that poverty and that exploitation and some of the anger that's in the music. And I had heard reggae music and never really heard the anger before. And in a sense, it all becomes a kind of camp exercise. You know, where people laugh, and so he's robbed, he sits down and smokes a joint and sings some more reggae tunes. And you know, I've been in foreign cultures where the response is not, you know, direct anger, that there are these outlets, so I can appreciate the difference. But the music is there, and it's one of those films, if you can call the film a musical. If you think of American musicals, it's one of those films where the real content is in the lyrics to the song, not in the plot. And American musicals almost always do the reverse, where the lyrics to the song are basically your comic relief or your respite from reality. Here, no, the real thing is in the music, and the plot is entertainment. It's for you to sit back and smell the smoke and listen to the... It makes you want to dance. I came out feeling like I wanted to dance.
Do you remember where the director's from? I recall reading that he's
His
from...
His name's Narizano, and he's Italian or Portuguese. He's not a Rastafarian. I'm getting my information from a newspaper article. I don't know this firsthand. But he apparently went to Jamaica and became fascinated with the culture. And hooked on to Horsemouth Wallace, and, you know, they built this thing up. And it'll be a cult film. I mean, it will eventually do well kind of on the late-night repertory circuit.
Okay, well, the film is Rockers. It's playing in Center City. And
I should say also, I mean, it's interesting for a new movie that you know, as it comes out, is going to be a cult film, that the theater was almost three-quarters empty. And I think some of it is, you know, I mean, there's a safety factor or something. Some people think it won't be safe to go in and see it or something, you know, because Jamaica has this reputation for being violent now to Americans. But it's perfectly safe in the theater, I should tell people.
Well, I went to see the movie based on Chaucer, what's it called?
Canterbury Tales.
Thank you. Yes, Canterbury. That was pretty empty too. So mm-hmm. There's lots of pretty empty movie theaters around town. Mm-hmm. So, okay, this film is called Rockers. And what's on TV this week, Bill?
Lots of good stuff and good variety to it too. On Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on Channel 10, it played once last year and I plugged it. It's the funniest Western I've ever seen, called Evil Roy Slade, with John Astin and Dick Shawn in it. And it plays upon all of the codes of the Western, including the Eastern blonde school marm telling the gunfighter, "Come east with me," where it's civilized, and he does, and goes to a shoe store and shoots people in the shoe store and so on. And it's really funny. I really liked it. At 11:30 p.m. on Saturday on Channel 6, one of the nicest films, it's not nice in content, but one of the real surprises for me, I saw it last year for the first time, The Yakuza with Robert Mitchum. And when it played commercially, I didn't go see it because it sounded like just a lot of violence and a kind of an exploitation of karate and kung fu films and so on. But this one's a real moody piece. I can't even tell you the plot, but it's full of surprises that have to do with relationships changing. What looked to be someone's, you know, love affair was really, the other person's daughter was really, lots of family changes, and a real hard adherence to code in terms of Japanese culture. I may be going out on a limb and saying this, but I think you learn as much, if not more, about Japanese culture from a film like The Yakuza than you do from watching Shogun all week.
Who directed it?
I don't know the director. It's Robert Mitchum and Brian Keith and a whole series of Japanese cast. I don't remember the director, but it's got beautiful photography and really interesting kind of flashback structures. And Mitchum is at his moodiest. And he's a perfect person to play someone 20 years after World War II ended. I mean, he has the face for someone who's survived something like that. And it's nice in the men-to-men scenes, and it's nice in the men and women scenes. And there aren't many films that do both that way. On Sunday, Tunes of Glory, 10 a.m. on Channel 12 with Alec Guinness. On Sunday night, you have a choice of three films. They're at different times, so you could see almost all of all three. The Boys from Brazil is on 9 p.m. on Channel 3. Rosemary's Baby, for anyone out there who possibly might not have seen it, started a whole genre of devil scare movies. That's 11:45 on Channel 10, Roman Polanski's film. And my best bet for the evening, 1:30 in the morning on Channel 6, I Confess, is Montgomery Clift plays a priest accused of murder in an Alfred Hitchcock film and is taken to trial. And I think Montgomery Clift is one of the finest actors who ever was, and so I don't like to miss anything he's in. On Monday night, Playing for Time begins at 8 p.m. on Channel 10. I don't think I need to say much about that. It's in Newsweek and everywhere.
I want to say something about that. Okay. That is that Fanya Fenelon, whose life the movie is based on, stopped by on Fresh Air a few months ago. And we'll be rebroadcasting an excerpt of her interview Monday afternoon on Fresh Air. So if you wanted to hear her point of view,
good.
We'll be featuring that Monday afternoon.
That's good. 12:40 in the morning then, Nicholas Roeg's Don't Look Now with Julie Christie is on.
I've heard some wonderful things about that film, though I've never gotten to see it.
Yeah. It would be interesting for people out there, if you see Rosemary's Baby, to see Don't Look Now, because it does have to do with mothering and babies. It has to do with possession. And this time it's more diffuse. It's not the devil, it's spirits, and it's in Venice. And so the locale's very beautiful. On Wednesday night, classic sort of tough film noir film, 8 p.m. on Channel 29, Requiem for Heavyweight with Anthony Quinn. And an interesting film that I've been wanting to see for a long time and have never seen and know a lot about, The Eyes of Laura Mars is playing 9 p.m. on Channel 3 on Wednesday night. That's with Faye Dunaway, and lots of symbolism with taking images and cameras and so on. On Thursday night, The Tall Blonde Man with One Black Shoe, Channel 12 at 9:30 p.m., nice comedy with Pierre Richard. And for classic drama in an American sense, how acting used to predominate films, at 2 in the morning on Channel 3, The Best Man with Henry Fonda and Cliff Robertson. And on Friday night, Friday nights are usually wonderful nights. I mean, they have sort of soap opera fare with The Way We Were and Doctor's Wives, but they're also doing Saturday morning fare for some reason next Friday night with Dracula's Daughter, The World, the Flesh, and the Devil, and some Dr. Shock specials. So it's an interesting and varied week.
Okay, well, Bill, we'll see you next week here on Fresh Air. Bill Van Wert joins us every Friday at about 3:30 to talk about upcoming movies on television and to review a new film.